listening to the Way of Truth broadcast coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avinay Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting that the Lord will use our broadcast to be a blessing to you. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting Thy Gospel on this broadcast, and we're thankful for each one in our congregation. We know that You love each one, and we're so thankful that we have the privilege of sharing the Gospel with them today, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast and make it a blessing to each and to every soul. Now, You know their burdens, You know their cares, You know their needs, and You are a loving God, so we pray that You'll minister to our congregation, encourage that soul that may be struggling through trials or tests at this time. Remember those who may be sick and suffering in body, or whatever their needs may be, for You've told us to cast all of our care upon You, for You care for us. So bless this broadcast and bless this precious congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our sins are all pardoned.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Jesus Paid For. Our text of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And for a background scripture, I will read Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Among the marvelous things Jesus did while here on earth was three things he paid for us, and I'd like for you to consider these three things with me on the broadcast today. First of all, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came into this world in the form of a baby, and he grew to manhood, and he taught the way of life, and eventually he gave his life so that we could be redeemed or saved from our sins. He said he came to seek and to save the lost. They found fault with him because he was having a meal with some unsaved people. And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners. And so Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we had gone astray. Yes, like Isaiah said, we all had gone astray. We, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned to everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6 that I just read. Now, there in the upper room, when they were observing the Passover, which was a type of the Lamb of God back in Egypt in their bondage, God had them to institute the Passover by killing a lamb, putting the blood on the doorpost, so that their children, or the eldest in their family and cattle, would not be slain when the death angel passed over. Now, it was this supper that they were observing there in the upper room when Jesus said to them, one of you shall betray me. And we find later that that was Judas Iscariot. Judas went out before the Lord instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, for he had prearranged with the religious leaders there in Jerusalem to betray the Lord into their hands. And so he did betray them into their hands, and they arrested him there in the Garden of Gethsemane and brought him back over to Jerusalem. And eventually he was brought, after he had been given a mock trial by the Sanhedrin and found guilty, they brought him to Pilate. And Pilate realized that the man had not really done anything wrong. He talked to Jesus personally and privately, and he told them that, "I don't find any fault in this man." But they insisted, of course, that he have Jesus crucified. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said to the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no fault of death in this man." That's Luke chapter 23, verses 21, 22. So they insisted, and Jesus was taken out of the city of Jerusalem and was there crucified on the cross. The soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they clothed him with purple, planted a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head, and began to salute him, mocking him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him, and put his own clothes back on, and led him out of the city to crucify him. So we read in Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 19. Now, I'd like to give you a little reading in regard to crucifixion. The victim was often forced to carry his own cross to the execution site. In the case of Jesus, the record shows he may have been expected to carry his own more than 200 yards. In a weak and tormented state, it is no wonder the record established that Jesus needed a great deal of assistance. Once the victim arrived at the execution site, the cross was put on the ground, and the victim was forced to lie upon it. Spikes about 7 inches long and 3/8 of an inch in diameter were driven into the wrist. The spikes would hit the area of the median nerve, causing shocks of pain up the arm to the shoulders and neck. After the cross was raised, the victim's body was turned so that the feet could be nailed to the upright also. At this point, there was tremendous strain upon the wrist, arms, and shoulder, resulting in a dislocation of the shoulder and elbow joints. The position of the nailed body held the victim's rib cage in a fixed position, which made it extremely difficult to exhale and impossible to take a full breath. Having suffered from the scourging, the beating, and the walk with the cross, Jesus was described as extremely weak and dehydrated. He was probably losing significant amounts of blood. As time passed, the loss of blood and lack of oxygen would cause severe cramps, spasmodic contractions, and probably unconsciousness, although nothing is said in the scriptures about Jesus losing consciousness. Ultimately, the mechanism of death, crucifixion, was suffocation. To breathe the victim was forced to push up on his feet to allow for inflation of the lungs. As the body weakened and pain in the feet and legs became unbearable, the victim was forced to trade breathing for pain and exhaustion. Eventually, the victim would succumb in this way, becoming utterly exhausted so he could no longer lift his body and inflate his lungs. Thus, fluid would build up in the lungs, and with the lack of oxygen, the heart would fail. Before Jesus committed his spirit into the hands of the Father, he said, "It is finished." Jesus paid for our salvation. Paul said in Romans 5:9 that we are justified by his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelation 1:5. Now, the second point that I want to mention, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. So Jesus Christ suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem to purchase the experience of sanctification for us. And sanctification is a definite, positive experience, separate and apart from the new birth. Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25, 26, and 27. And we see by this passage of Scripture that sanctification is for the church, for those who have been saved through the new birth and become a member of the body of Christ, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as are being saved. So Jesus Christ suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem to sanctify the church for those who had been born again. And this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So we read in Paul's writings to the church of Thessalonica, Jesus paid for your sanctification, just as he paid for your salvation. Now, the third point, we're talking today about three things that Jesus paid for. The third, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, our text for today. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. And at this point, I would like to read something in regard to scourging. We go back to the time when the soldiers were taunting Jesus, mocking him, spit upon him, made a crown of thorns and hit him over the head with a reed, driving those thorns deeper into his brow. I purposely did not mention the fact at that time that they also scourged him, they whipped him. So I'd like for you to listen now as I give you another reading, and this time in regard to scourging. Crucifixion sometimes began with a scourging or flogging of the victim's back. The Romans used a whip called a flagrum, which consisted of small pieces of bones and metal attached to a number of leather strands. The number of blows given to Jesus is not recorded. However, the number of 40 was what the Torah called for. That was the limit for the Jews, and they usually only gave 39, lest they had made a mistake. But the Romans were not bound by that law. So we really don't know how many times they whipped him or came down across his back with the lashes. It could have been more than 40. We really don't know. But during the scourging, the skin was ripped from the back, exposing a bloody mass of tissue and bone. Extreme blood loss occurred, often causing death. just the scourging that oftentimes caused death, or at least unconsciousness. In addition to the flogging, Jesus faced severe beatings and torment by the Roman soldiers, including blinding him and slapping him in the face, plucking out some of his beard, and the piercing of his side or his scalp with a crown of thorns. Now, scourging is to afflict with severe suffering, vengeance, or punishment, to chastise severely. A whip or lash, especially for inflicting of punishment or torture. Hard material was affixed to multiple thongs to give a flesh-tearing bite. That's the description of scourging. Now, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. For the Lord to be able to heal us, Jesus had to pay the price for our healing. And by his stripes we are healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Jesus took the apostles and went into a desert place, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and heal them that had need of healing. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Men brought a sick man to the house where Jesus was. When they could not get inside the house through the door, they let him down through a hole in the roof. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Luke chapter 5 and verse 20. When the Pharisees accused him of blasphemies, saying, Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus said to them, Which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, or thy couch, and go unto thine house. And immediately he rose up, and before them, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Luke 5, chapter 5, 21 through 25, verse. A leper came to Jesus, saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Mark 1, chapter 1, and verses 40 and 41. A man brought his son to Jesus, saying, If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. So Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day to save us from our sins. He suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem to sanctify his people with his own blood, and he suffered the scourging, the whipping, the beating on his back to heal our bodies. By his stripes we are healed. So Jesus paid for our healing as well as our salvation and our sanctification. And we are to live by faith, and we are to have faith in God and in God's promises. It takes faith to be saved from a life of sin. It takes faith to be sanctified, and it takes faith to be healed. So Jesus Christ paid for these experiences, and we can have them because he paid for them. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that these truths will be a blessing to you. And if our broadcast is a blessing, why not let us know? Our mailing address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage. And if you have missed a broadcast, you can go to our webpage, for there is an archive there of a number of our broadcasts. And we invite you to be with us in our Sunday services. They are broadcast live over the Internet. Our morning worship service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin and Craig. We invite you to be with us next week when, again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Once I was found by sinfully
free.